call the meeting of the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee to order. Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Here.
Trustee Aiden O'Brien?
Here.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Here.
Trustee John Butler?
Here.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Here.
Committee Vice Chair Leland Strom?
Here.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Here. Thank you very much. Mr. Perry, would you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Morning, Mr. Chair. You have a quorum present. An appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Thank you very much. We will move on now to agenda item 3. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as proposed?
So moved, Mr. Chair Gales.
Thank you, Chair Gales. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee Wasowitz. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The meeting agenda is approved. Now we'll move on to agenda item 4. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting of May 9th, 2024?
So made, Strom.
Thank you, Trustee Strom.
Second, Herrero.
Thank you, Trustee Herrero. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes of May 9th, 2024 are approved. We'll move on to agenda item number 5, Chair's comments. Before I make the few comments that I have, does anybody from the University Advisory Committee who is present today have any comments for us?
Yes. So the Operating Staff Council is really excited to get the semester going. And typically each year we do a civil service celebration for the staff. This year we will be doing one staff celebration with collaboration with SPS, and that'll be on March 12th. So we're excited that we're putting our funding together and using synergies.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. I will keep my comments brief since the previous chairs of the previous committees welcomed everybody back to campus. So on behalf of the FACFO committee, I will do the same and wish everyone a wonderful year full of learning. But in particular, we want to thank the students and their families for entrusting NIU with your education goals. Also want to make mention, we have a very important member of our team who is retiring, and we want to acknowledge her contributions, thank her for all that she's done for us. Danielle Schultz, who is the Chief of Internal Audit for us. I work very closely with Danielle, as she does with Dr. Freeman, doing the internal audits on us, and we have our annual meetings. We have meetings throughout the year, and her almost 30-year career here at NIU has been tremendous. You will be extremely hard to replace, but we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you just for your service to NIU, to our community, to our faculty, to our staff, to our students. Danielle, you will be missed. Thank you. Our agenda for today's meeting will include three important financial updates, of which George will give here shortly, and only two recommendations to vote on, which is a very thin agenda today. And one of those will be going to the special meeting of the board that will take place after this meeting. We will also hear an update on our campus faculty projects. And that's it for my comments. So at this point in time, we will move to public comment, agenda number 6. And at this point, we wish to recognize members of the public who have complied with state law and the Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board. Mr. Perry, have you received any timely requests to address this meeting?
Mr. Chair, there's no public comment this morning.
Great. Thank you very much. Agenda item 7. At this point in time, I would like to ask Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, Dr. George Mittelmeist, to present the university financial update. George?
Thank you, Committee Chair Barsema. Agenda item 7A is the fiscal year 2023 audit and financial results. The fiscal year 2023 financial audit and financial results provides a high-level summary of the university's financial statements and audit results. The auditors provided an unmodified audit opinion, meaning that the financial statements comply with accounting standards and are accurately stated. Four exceptions were noted in the financial audit. These findings were administrative in nature only, with no indication of fraud or mismanagement of university resources. Corrective actions related to these findings have been implemented as noted in Agenda Item 7B, which we will look at next. For the financial results, net position decreased by $16.3 million in fiscal year 23. The university's working capital ratio fell to 0.89, which is below the target working capital ratio of 1.2 to 2.0. The university's net position is expected to further decline in fiscal year 24. The university's deficit mitigation plan and ongoing measures to balance the budget by fiscal year 26 are expected to bring working capital back within the target range. And additionally, and finally, the university's long-term debt payment payable decreased by $11.3 million due to the repayment of principal.
Thank you, George. And while the results are of course, challenging to us, they are not a surprise as the result of the regular communication amongst the board, the finance team, and the leadership under Dr. Freeman, and our collective commitment to transparency. We were expecting and anticipating the financial results to show a decrease in the university's net position of fiscal year 23. When you have a deficit, cash is going to go down, which is further reason and reinforcement for us to get to a balanced budget as quickly as we can. But I will talk more about that later on. So at this point in time, let's move on to agenda item 7B, fiscal year 2023 external audit corrective action plans.
Agenda item 7B is the fiscal year 2023 external audit corrective action plan update. The university's fiscal year 23 audit was completed on June 13, 2024. There were 17 audit findings reported, of which 9 were repeated from the prior year. There were 8 new findings this year, and 7 of the prior findings were implemented and not repeated. The average number of findings for Illinois public institutions was 14. The fiscal year 23 audit was conducted by new auditors, which led to increased testing and different interpretations resulting in an increased number of new findings. All findings are administrative in nature, with no evidence of fraud or resource mismanagement. NIU leadership takes all findings seriously, and we are working to address all findings in a timely manner. The enclosed chart contains a listing of all findings, the actions the university is taking to address the finding, the status of those corrective actions, the responsible areas, and the probability that the finding will repeat in the next audit cycle. It's important to note that repeat findings do not necessarily indicate chronic problems. Many findings may repeat for a year or two simply due to the timing of the audit cycle. The university's commitment to eliminating findings is demonstrated by the fact that 7 findings from the prior year audit did not repeat in the current year.
Right. Thank you, George. It should be, and I hope is clear to everyone, that the board takes the financial and the operating audits extremely seriously. And I hope it's also obvious to everyone that as a board, we have confidence in the ability of university leadership to mitigate and address the audit findings. I would go back, could we put the table back on that we had before, that you just had on? Is that possible, Tony? Because I want to make mention of this. This is a table that has evolved over the last few years, but you know, it. And I encourage the public, you know, I know the board has studied this in detail, but I encourage the public and, you know, the NIU community to study this in detail, because this shows not only the action item itself and, you know, in terms of the audit finding and the progress of where we are, whether it's implemented, partially implemented, not implemented, the severity of it, the owner of it, which I believe is very important, who owns this from a department standpoint or from a responsibility standpoint, and then, you know, whether or not, you know, where its rating is from a high-low standpoint, and where we are relative to progress. So this is the table that I appreciate very much and thank you for. And we continue as a board to understand that it can be tricky to implement and to interpret these significance of repeat findings, in particular because we did have a new audit firm. As somebody who ran three different companies during my career as CEO, I understand very clearly that when a new audit firm comes on board, they never come to you going, "We didn't find anything new." So that can be very tricky, and just because timelines can lag from when something gets addressed to, you know, when it actually shows up. So that's a very important table for us to continue to track, one that will continue to evolve, but it's very useful in terms of describing the findings, but also to illustrate where the mitigation plans are and whether we can expect to see any of these findings repeat themselves, which they will. That's just the nature of what we deal with. But the hope is over time we will continue to lower the number and also the, you know, to look at which ones are most important to us. So with that, we will move on to agenda item 7C, the annual report of cash and investments for the period ending June 30th of 2024.
Agenda item 7C is the annual report of cash and investments for the period ending June 30th, 2024, which contains three reports: reports of depositories, cash and investments holding summary, and investment earnings report. The report of depositories is submitted annually, while cash and investments holding summary and investment earnings reports are submitted quarterly. The report of depositories summarizes the university's balances and bank activity for the year by financial institution. The cash and investments holding summary is similar, but summarizes the university's holdings by holding type and also includes any fixed income investments. The cash and investments holding summary at June 30 shows NIU's total holdings at just over $77 million. Of the total holdings balance, approximately $16 million is available for daily operations, providing approximately 13 days cash on hand, which is the lowest point throughout the fiscal year based on revenue receipts earlier in the fiscal year and final expenditures paid out at the end. The total holdings balance is down $50 million from the balance at June 30, 2023. The decrease is primarily a result of the exhaustion of the pandemic relief funds, increased cash disbursements related to payroll, supplier payments, and debt service, while cash receipts have held relatively flat. The university will curtail the declining cash flow trend with proactive planning and implementation of its deficit mitigation plan. The investment earnings report shows income of $1.3 million and an overall annualized rate of return of 5.42% for the fourth quarter. This represents a decrease in interest earned of approximately $560,000 when compared to the same quarter of fiscal year 23. Decrease in interest earned is primarily due to the decrease in total cash and investment holding balances, despite improved market yields from the same period last year. In response to leadership requests, the university community has taken actions to reduce spending and strengthen the university's cash position.
Thank you, George. As was the case with the FY23 financial audit, the numbers are not what we want to see, but they are what we expected to see. We would all prefer to end the year and the quarter with more unrestricted cash on hand. But at the same time, we recognize, as George stated, that June is our yearly low point for cash, which is the conclusion of this audit. So because of the timelines for receipt of appropriated funds and tuition and fee revenue, cash on hand is going to fluctuate throughout FY25 as revenues come in and expenses are paid out. That's normal. But, you know, the board wants to emphasize the need for the university community to continue to identify and act on opportunities to further control costs and increase the revenues of our campus. As we see the higher education industry and peer institutions, not only just across our state, but across the country, continue to face financial hardships, the board is grateful that NIU is taking action to align the revenue and expenses and address financial concerns. We are encouraged to see that the operating deficit is reduced in the approved budget for fiscal year 25 by 50% over where we finished fiscal year 24. That was the expectation that the board had of our leadership team and our NIU community, and that's what came came forward as our budget for FY 25. But we need to continue to see a decrease in the deficit as we move forward towards an all funds multi-year budgeting process, and make the needed changes in order to secure the financial and future health of NIU. The board wants to reinforce our goal of us reaching break even in the fiscal year 26 budgeting process. We are confident and we look forward to this happening, but it's going to continue to take everybody on our campus working together to find the operating expenses that can be reduced and additional sources of revenue. But, you know, to be clear, this is an expectation that the board has of our campus to have a break-even budget for fiscal year 26. So with that, we'll move on to number eight. We will now move on to the two university recommendations that we have. So again, I will turn this over to George.
Agenda item 8A is the bowl game participation expenses. For 12 of the past 16 football seasons, the NIU football team has been invited to participate in a postseason bowl game. The university is requesting that the Board of Trustees delegate to the president or designee approval for all necessary and proper expenses related to NIU's participation in a postseason bowl game competition, including but not limited to the following: the bowl agreements, expenses relating to ticketing, tickets, travel, transportation, lodging, rentals, insurance, dining, beverages, non-alcoholic, fees, services, broadcast rights, apparel, commodities, equipment, and supplies. Further, such approval is requested to also authorize the president or designee to undertake all business transactions necessary in relation to an anticipated upcoming bowl event, reporting actions taken where required beyond customary authorizations at the subsequent board meeting, at a subsequent meeting of the board. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on September 19th, 2024. Go Huskies.
Go Huskies. Thank you. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8A?
So move, Wasowitz.
Thank you, Trustee Wasowitz. Is there a second?
Second, Athus.
Thank you, Trustee Athus. Is there any discussion? Eric?
Maybe just a comment here, but you know, as we talk about where we are fiscally and getting our fiscal house in order, the bowl game is usually a wash on this. So it's just not something where we're blowing a lot of money here. And I just wanted to put that in the public record.
And depending on the bowl game that you go to, it can be a plus.
True. Yeah. But I think just overall, over the years, it's pretty much maybe we make a little bit of money.
Under the new college playoff format, there is one group of five team that will go to the college football playoff. So why not us?
If I can add something, not about our chances of going to the college football playoff, but just that with the new reporting thresholds that the board has authorized, it is probably unnecessary to bring this item forward. But Director Frazier and I know some of the board members are extremely suspicious of changing anything we do related to the football season in hopes of, you know, not invoking some type of curse or being blamed later. And so that is why the item was still included.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Freeman. Is there other discussion or comments? Okay. All those in favor of agenda item 8A, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Agenda item 8A is approved. Agenda item 8B.
Agenda item 8B is Campus and Energy Improvements Phase 1 Implementation. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to this important series of sustainability and energy improvement projects this morning. Mostly morning. The university is requesting that the Board of Trustees delegate to the President approval to enter into a contract with Train, an approved IPEC vendor, to implement the first phase of the Campus Energy Improvements Project up to $3 million. This strategy is a two-step contract process with Train to support sufficient improvement efforts this fall to realize roughly $8 million in government incentives set to expire December 31st, 2024. Creating a second phase for the remainder of the project allows us time to finalize the scope and identify financing opportunities to fund the effort, which will come back to the board for approval in September. The entirety of this project is to advance the university's sustainability and climate action plan goals by increasing building system energy efficiencies and generating renewable energy as supported by applicable federal state utility incentives and thus resulting in energy savings. It also begins addressing the replacement of aging infrastructure to ensure continuity of operations for our students, faculty, and staff. Upon project completion and in accordance with anticipated financing terms, the expectation is that this project will ultimately net savings for the university. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and asks that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on August 22, 2024. John Heckman and John Dunlap with Train are here to share more information about the proposed plan of action and relative request, and I'd like to invite them to the podium once the board has made their motion.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8B?
So moved, Athus.
Thank you, Trustee Athus. Is there a second?
Second, O'Brien.
Thank you, Trustee O'Brien. We will now move to discussion and over to John Heckman.
Cindy, if you can bring up my slide deck. I'd like to use a few slides just to help illustrate a little bit more about this item. And go to slide two, please. So the origin of this energy improvement effort was driven by the desire to achieve not only energy reduction and savings, but also having a positive impact on sustainability objectives, such as greenhouse gases and carbon footprint reductions. Development of this energy improvement scope has been underway for the past 6 months and is at a fast-track pace since some available incentives expire at the end of the calendar year, as you heard. In our partnership with Train, we've been working diligently to reach a point where sufficient time will be available to achieve the necessary 5% progress to keep those expiring incentives alive for the whole project. The improvements planned with this effort is projected to achieve a respectable 11% reduction of our CO2 emissions while also achieving a very respectable 26% energy consumption reduction, so very significant. Next slide, please. The broader goals for the project overall can be viewed across these four categories. While the main scope is focused on specific energy efficiencies and electrical generation opportunities, there's also synergies with opportunities to enhance academic programs, research, and engage the local community. In the end, the project will be fueled by the financial objectives, where in the short term, savings will support the cost of the improvements, and longer term help reduce our overall operating costs. I'd like to ask John Dunlap to come up and elaborate a little bit more about those indirect benefits across these goals.
Thank you, John. The opportunities here are profound. Not only are we looking at trying to create opportunities to be more sustainable, but we're also looking at opportunities to drive workforce economic development as well as student and academic progress. Throughout all of the backbone of our design to reduce energy, we've aligned with a collaboration framework with the university that's mission-driven. This mission-driven approach builds off of skill sets that are endearing to not only today's workforce needs, but also to those of the future. The controls and automation enhancement recommendations that are part of this particular program will also be capable of creating virtual living learning labs to extend into community technical matriculation paths, as well as K through 12 institutions in the urban, suburban, and rural markets that you guys all benefit from. The data analytics skill sets are fundamental to our future. And in addition to that, they're part of a process of allowing us to measure and verify that the performance of the enhancements that will be made across the campus will be realized. Additional to that, Trane is committed to decarbonization metrics of approximately 1 billion metric tons by 2030, and NIU would be a strategic partner in helping us to achieve that goal. With that, we're truly excited. The collaboration has been iterative. There have been multiple individuals responsible for helping to develop this programmed approach that is very sustainable, but financially sound.
Could you do me a favor, just for the record, so we have it on the recording?
Sure.
Could you introduce yourself and your role at Trane? I know you're with Trane, but just so we have it for the record.
Absolutely. My name is John Dunlap, and I'm with Trane Technologies, and I'm the Area Director of Comprehensive Energy Solutions here in the Upper Midwest region.
Right. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Next slide. Acknowledging that this is very difficult to read from the tables here, the intent is really to give you a feel for the extent of the planning effort that spanned across more than 50 of our main buildings, addressing efficiency improvements across the categories of lighting, water conservation, sealing the envelopes of the buildings, and HVAC improvements. Next slide, please. In general, most buildings are targeted to receive these lighting and water and envelope improvements. Select buildings are targeted for more enhanced HVAC improvements based on the feasibility for gaining the necessary savings to pay for the features. Finally, solar generation is planned to be targeted at select locations across the campus, which I'll further emphasize on the next slide. And that will help our migration to being consuming more renewable energy in the future. John, I'd like you to elaborate a little bit more about the rigor of the assessment process.
Thank you, John. The process that we embarked upon was an investment grade audit of the facilities and infrastructure. It involved very close discussions with the facilities and operational teams, as well as a rigorous review of operational costs and challenges with regards to deferred maintenance. The priorities for us and the challenge that was presented was we need to find a way to utilize the state legislation through performance contracting to allow the energy savings to pay for this over a period of time. Thus, no capital contributions. We have gone through the rigors of making sure that appropriate safety factors are put into place and that the solutions not only address the capture of Inflation Reduction Act and utility incentives and state incentives from Illinois, but also that they satisfy a guarantee through the measurement and verification process. Measurement and verification will be done on each energy conservation measure throughout this program, protecting the integrity of this for the university. The programmed approach, as John mentioned, looks at HVAC, renewables, as well as EV infrastructure. And not to go into the weeds here, but it creates opportunities for resiliency for the university. We're really excited about this opportunity, and it is a journey that also allows us to connect with the community stakeholders and demonstrate your commitment to sustainability that's very very attractive to the students and the community stakeholders.
And next slide, please. So part of the more visible aspect of this will be the solar arrays. These solar arrays are planned across rooftops on Chesick, DuSable, and Stevens, and ground-mounted in the visitor parking lot and two field locations near the Convocation Center. The collective generation is estimated to replace about 6% of our annual electrical consumption. So a very significant step forward in the right direction with this. John, any additional points here?
Yeah, a couple things I want to bring to light. Obviously, we don't have anyone that's necessarily coming past on waterways, but we've tried to incorporate NIU school spirit, Husky spirit, through the Chesick solar array, where we will help our visitors coming in from flight over above us with a recognized footprint of NIU. And additional to that, since solar is such a visible and appealing attraction for community stakeholders, we've opted to put an enhancement to solar in your visitor parking lot, which would be a covered structure that would help to potentially offset some operational costs of maintaining that parking lot, but also create a space for those that are visiting, bringing their learners to tour your campus, and those visiting to be sheltered from the elements at times, and to also potentially demonstrate your commitment to solar and renewable energy.
Next slide, please. The overall investment is estimated in the magnitude of $57 to $59 million at this point, and will be supported through the utility and maintenance savings and rebate incentives and some EV charging revenues as projected here. When the projected across this 20-year, possible 20-year term, the conservative estimates demonstrate how the investment can be supported through the possible financing based on an estimate here of 5.5%, and we're hoping to do better than that. Actual savings are expected to be higher, and actual debt is expected to be lower due to the conservative factors being applied at this point. John, your thoughts on the confidence of these numbers?
These numbers represented here are very much built off of a safety factor of what we can expect in a worst case scenario. The cost of money at 5.5% cash flowing is at the upper limits of what we've seen in the market space, and we fully anticipate that you, as you source your funding mechanisms, will be able to achieve significantly lower cost of money. Additional to that, this project is guaranteed to perform by Trane Technologies. So we've gone through various levels of rigor within our organization to make sure that the engineering and the potential implementation of this is rock solid. So I would say I have a very high level of confidence that the recommendations and the project finances are solid.
John, could I ask a quick question? So
sure.
Thank you for that. That's great. I've got a few more comments on that later. But what does years 1 through 5 look like? I mean, when do we start to see these? I understand the annual, if you take it over 20 years, divide by 20, that's what we have. But what does years 1 through 5 look like?
So this project, as designed, cash flows positive from year one.
Really?
Yes. And there are actual realized gains of energy savings.
You know, we are recording this.
I do.
Okay, just wanted to make sure you know that.
That never happens.
And the potential during the construction build out to also harness and get energy savings is absolutely there.
Great, thank you.
You bet.
That's the slides that we had presented, so we'll stand by for more questions or any elaboration, George, if you'd like to add.
Chair Gales.
You just said you had confidence in the numbers. Have you done this anyplace else before? Do we have a case model or something that we can look at?
Yes. Trane is an energy services organization that has performed these types of projects across the nation. in other places of higher education, K through 8 in municipal governments, as well as our very own Defense Department. So we do have a robust track record of success in not only designing but implementing and making sure that these programs deliver upon their goals.
Do you have anything in that 20-year window that you would look at?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Let me ask, too, about the solar panels. Would that require a great deal of infrastructure, construction work in order to bring those panels in? And give us some idea, how does that energy then get out to the rest of the campus environment?
So with regards to the applications that we have here today, we've taken into consideration your current switchgear and your technologies. That has posed some limitations. So we've been selective on those infrastructures that we can place rooftops. It's going to require roofs that have been replaced or soon to be replaced. So that was into the calculus. There are other sites that would be advantageous to consider rooftop solar. Unfortunately, the switchgear needs to be upgraded, timelines associated with the capture of incentives and the costs associated with that switchgear enhancement doesn't work in this first phase, but there are absolutely future phases that we could see expansion of that. The ground mount solar systems do require interconnect fees, and we've already partnered with Commonwealth Edison and initiated on that process, as well as making sure that there's appropriate civil guidance to make sure that you're not encroaching on any wetlands or waterlands. So we feel very confident in the recommendations and the designs of what we're going to offer.
What could we anticipate in the first phase? Will we see solar or EV stations during that first phase?
Absolutely.
When does the second phase start?
That's more a question for NIU. That hasn't been determined yet.
Okay.
We're talking about just phase one, and that's this magnitude.
That's fair.
Don't want to put him on the spot there. He can't speak to phase two.
That's fair.
Just for clarification, just so I understand, the motion and this phase one, we're being asked as a board to approve phase one, a $3 million investment for the solar piece.
This would be for a mobilization for the larger project that would take place and be under consideration next month, I believe.
So what are we getting for the $3 million?
So there would be mobilization of getting site preparation work. We would be looking at the dynamic energy storage on three different sites, getting the preparation work so we could hit the 5% threshold requirements through the Inflation Reduction Act. So specifically, getting the pads ready for acceptance of the ice storage tanks, the completion of the engineering for the solar arrays, and having tanks and stuff and parcels delivered on site and ready to be constructed in the subsequent approval process.
So and I guess I'll ask the board here. So in effect, we are approving the larger project. Well, we're making a $3 million investment toward the larger project, correct?
But I don't think the scope of the larger project needs, with changing circumstances, changing sentiments of the board, you're not making a commitment to do the entire project.
Okay.
I wanted to do something that may help clarify some things for you. If you don't mind, if I could just sort of, my preference would be when this goes to the board meeting in, a few minutes or whenever, that we alter the recommendation, but I wonder if we could alter the recommendation here. And by that I mean just spell it out more specifically what we're approving. And so that way, when it goes to the board, we can alter that as well in the same way. But I think it might be better if I propose it here, because then we can hear from Train whether that would upset anything.
If you want to amend the recommendation, you make a motion in the committee, and then that would be approved, and then in the special meeting, the approved language from the committee meeting would then carry over, and so that motion would also have your language.
Yes, so I guess this begins with my observation that the recommendation in the full board meeting is the exact same wording as it is here. Now, I've now since figured out that that has been going on for quite some time, where the committee recommendation becomes the board's recommendation. But it seems a little bit strange to me. I guess I never caught it before, but why would the board recommend forwarding something to a committee that already met? But put that aside, I think if we could amend this, so I'm asking the makers of the motion if they would accept this friendly amendment, and then we can determine if it's going to upset anything. I would like the recommendation to read, the university request Board of Trustees approval to delegate to the president approval to enter into a contract with Train, a $3 million contract with Train to implement the first phase of the campus energy improvement project, because that's what we're doing with this action. Because the reason I want to be more specific is the item's a little bit unclear, and the recommendation depends on what's worded above. And it says, for example, right above the recommendation, starting with a gross investment of about $57 million. So that almost implies that's what we're voting on. So I'm just wondering if that change would upset anything at all.
We would be comfortable with that change.
Okay, because we're going to come back in September. Presumably, we're going to have some more conversation. We're going to learn a little bit more. And I'm completely in favor of this. I don't want to get in the way. I just want the record to reflect that the approval is $3 million.
I agree with you. And the way I have viewed this is that this is a what's in front of us today is a way to get started without making a full commitment to the $59 million or the $58 million. To give us a little more runway to understand, is this something that we really want to make a full commitment to, which I am where you are, John. I'm fully in support of this, but as George and I have discussed, and President Freeman and I have discussed, I'm always leery of cost savings offsetting expense. So one of the discussions that I've had with the administration is to say, we've got to come up with a process to come back to the board on a regular basis. You guys define regular for us, right? And we'll say yes or no to that, but come back on a regular basis to show us that we actually are achieving the savings that we were told we were going to get. Because I think that at the end of this, if we find out that we didn't get these savings, but we did spend $59 million, you might have an unhappy board. Eric.
I mean, I also understand that this is a timing issue here, too, is that we have, the climate or the inflation
reduction act.
Has nothing
right, there's a timing issue for us to take advantage of some of the federal funding.
Yes, we can take advantage of this because of the, but we need to do it now to hit thresholds, timing thresholds. So,
and point of clarification, this change would not affect that timing, I'm assuming. Okay.
Yeah, that's why we're doing it now, so we can take advantage of that.
So we are approving spending $3 million in phase one to take advantage, and consequently that will trigger the ability to get the incentives by the end of the year.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, let me try to explain it. As explained before, this will get us started. It will start the momentum to get us towards that path. Come September, that's when we want to explain the rest of the story, and hopefully with the COP financing to finally get the full approval. But yes, it's a combination package, so I do understand the the struggle.
If there was not full approval in September, are the incentives still triggered for the $3 million a month?
We would probably need to back up and rescope and rethink, because this $3 million gets us down a path. I'd like to say yes, but it won't be of that 57 million magnitude. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to rethink if we don't go down fully that path.
Because, I mean, the only thought, and I, Trustee Barsima hinted about potentially unhappy board. I mean, obviously, taking on an annual debt payment of just shy of $5 million in our current fiscal situation is something that we have to keep in mind as well.
Oh, yeah.
Please, yeah.
So I'd agree with everything you've said, Lee. What we're trying to do is to structure this so that we've set into stone we can take advantage of the rebates. We won't get all the rebates on January 1 of 2025. Those come in over the course of a few years. We're building those into anything that we do in terms of paying for the debt. We agree, Dennis, that we need to measure this. It's also required in law that we have to be able to measure and demonstrate the savings. If as we do the financing, if we're looking at the numbers and the numbers don't work out exactly where we think to and we have to scale back the project, Dr. Freeman made a very good point to me. That means our 5% is now a 10% or a 20%. And so it doesn't reduce that ability to get the stipend or the rebates from the feds. You know, this is something that we definitely have to be thinking through because of all the reasons that have been talked about. But when we come to the board in September, we'll have had the time to really vet the project, the scope, what we can afford. We have a meeting tomorrow afternoon to talk about the financing possibilities with our financial advisors to say, okay, if we're doing COPs, what does that begin to look like so that when we come to the board in September, we come to you with parameters. We can't have interest rates higher than this amount. We can't have a term longer than this. Here's where we think the payments will be, and here's the guaranteed part of the savings, because there's a portion of that too, where Train guarantees this is a savings we promise that you will receive, and that will be part of the contract. And so we can explain all of that better at the September board meeting. And then there's ancillary impacts that this has, not just on our carbon footprint. Dr. Freeman, she reads a lot. I'm an accountant. I look for the audiobooks, I think it was this weekend. The last few days have blended together for me, but this weekend she shared an article talking about what students expect when they come to a university, you know, what they expect to pay and the things that they expect universities to do. And a prominent part of that was about the expectation that we be good stewards of our environment, mm-hmm. That we are making inroads into being more sustainable, and that universities that are doing that are seeing increases in their enrollment. Something that I think we all would embrace at our institution.
Yeah, the other point I would add too is that I think, you know, one of the many reasons I'm in support of this is that this allows us to walk our talk, right? We've talked about sustainability. We've talked about being good environmental citizens to our community, to our world, and if we're going to be that, these are things that we should be doing for our campus. The other thing I like about this, to my fellow colleagues, is that, you know, Train is a $17 billion company. And if you go and you study Train's website, it's all about environment. It's all about environmental sustainability and helping companies to achieve their goals in that area. So we would be working with a partner that this is what they do. And so it gave me more confidence that the numbers that you're showing us are real numbers, and that because you wouldn't be where you are today if you weren't performing. With that, I will.
I'll just also, I mean, I am 100% supportive of these types of projects as well. To me, though, it also boils down to the fiscal responsibility of the board here to make sure that we can pay for this going forward, and it doesn't cause undue additional pressure on our finances.
Now, George, can you speak to for the fiscal year 25 budget, mm-hmm. What we're being asked to vote on? How does that affect, or is it baked into the fiscal year 25 budget.
So the $3 million's not baked into the budget, so we would be spending. It's an investment and an asset, so not necessarily direct to the budget. It would have an impact on our cash, because we'll spend $3 million in cash. If we come to you in September and we don't go forward, I think we have a lot to talk through. If it does go forward, that cash gets replaced, because the bond issuance that we do will factor that in so that we replenish the cash that we have used. It's basically an asset transaction. Mm-hmm. So the other thing I would say, in terms of thinking about the assets, one of the things, I got to be at a Nakubo panel where we talked about things that keep us up at night as CFOs. One of the things that keeps me up is actually getting that email saying, this thing has failed in an academic building and is going to have an impact on our students' outcomes. Our infrastructure is old. I think last year, at the start of the fall semester, I had a flurry of emails about two elevators that were down in buildings where there were only one elevator. And so two buildings with one elevator, and the buildings that were most used by our incoming freshmen. Those have negative impacts on our, not just on our students, but from the finance guy on our retention, which has an impact on the dollars. And so this is an investment also potentially in our infrastructure, so that we're handing over the university in 5 years to leaders and students that don't have to worry about those things, that we're handing it off in a better place.
John?
So just to be clear, this action will authorize the expenditure of $3 million. That money will be cash. The institution then expects to recuperate that money in the financing that is envisioned in the future here.
Okay. Yes. So would the anticipation be that would all happen within the fiscal year 25 budgeting cycle?
It would.
Yes.
If we approve this in September, it would.
Right. Okay.
So we intend, if
the $3 million that would come out of cash would be replaced before the end of the fiscal year 25 cycle.
If everything goes as we are timelining it out, it would be replaced before the calendar year.
Right. Yeah.
So just a point of clarification. Trustee Butler had requested a friendly amendment and read through a new recommendation. Was that seconded or?
Well, I'd be comfortable just moving this item out of the committee and then amending the item that's at the board meeting. I really just wanted to get a sense of whether the amendment.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that. That's fine. You can make it at that in this special meeting.
Yeah, let's just do that. I'm comfortable moving this item. Through.
Okay. Further questions? Discussion? Okay. Okay, this has been a long time, but I believe we have a motion to approve in a second on 8B. We've had our discussion. Any further discussion? One last go around? Want to make sure that everybody has a chance to express any opinions or ask questions. Okay. All those in favor of agenda item 8B, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, agenda item 8B is passed. We will move on to agenda item number 9, the university reports. And I'll turn it back over to George.
Agenda item 9A is an update report on the progress of active capital projects. NIU board regulations stipulate that the university presents regular summaries of designated activities, including financial and property transactions, as well as confirmation that state and federal requirements are met. I invite John Heckman, Associate Vice President of Facilities, Management, and Campus Services, to provide the report, which is submitted in accordance with board regulations.
Hello again, and good afternoon at this point. Cindy, if you can bring my slide deck back up. And go to slide 8, and I'll pick up where I left off. Next slide. So just to give you a brief update on the Health Technology Center, we're focused on a design concept now that will best meet the space needs and allow for estimated costs to remain within the project budget. This three-floor concept will facilitate the highest traffic demands from the clinic and classrooms on the first floor, with lower traffic demands from the labs and offices on the upper floors. At this point, we project to be able to work the detailed design next calendar year, with bidding and construction start being feasible for 2026. So we're very much seeing progress on this project. Can't get there quick enough, but we are making steady progress. Next slide, please. For NICS, or the Northern Illinois Center for Community Sustainability, the concept vision is also shaping up to support the solicitation process for a design-build project to possibly proceed this fall. Once able to award the design-build contract, hopefully by spring of 2025, this should allow detailed design to begin possibly by next summer and early stages of construction proceeding shortly thereafter. So another one making good progress at this point. Next slide, please. The long-awaited boiler has had some initial delays. I know if you've seen the construction fence that we've had up for a few months now. Unfortunately, during the design process of this design-build project, I had to resolve some interference with a major underground utility line. Now that that's resolved, further on-site mobilization is planned for the coming weeks and should allow for new boilers not to be ready this winter, but next winter is the projection that we'll have this ready and operational. So again, making progress, not as fast as we originally hoped or thought, but it is making progress. Next slide, please. Roof repairs are nearly a regular summer occurrence on the campus. And it's good to see this infrastructure getting repaired. We've had some recent repairs to both Davis and Wirtz and rectify some leak challenges that have been plaguing these buildings for a few years. And I'm, while not able to give you a repairs underway picture for this presentation, I am excited to finally state that Swen Parson, right next door, will get addressed this fall and allow for the hairnet to finally be removed. So look forward to progress being made on that project finally.
John, will we be able to open up the blinds here so we can then look out at that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Next slide, please. Well, not necessarily repairs with obvious visible improvements. I am thankful that there are professionals to tolerate these kind of working conditions. I just couldn't resist to show you these pictures, and I could not do this work myself. So I'm very thankful that dangerous work like this can be done by professionals and with our contractor partners. Next slide, please. Trying to accomplish some classroom improvements each year is also a regular goal, depending on how funding availability goes for the year. As an example, we have a couple lecture halls in La Tourette that were addressed this summer with both physical improvements and IT improvements combined to help enhance the experience for our students. Next slide. The next few slides are going to be a mixture of improvements. Some are going to be very visible, such as the new artificial turf for the stadium and improved locker rooms in the recreation center. Others, as typical with infrastructure, are going to be underground and not as visible, but are just as critical for the campus. Next slide, please. This summer had a particular focus on electrical and mechanical systems at various locations. Each repair helps minimize the potential for unplanned outages for the things that we all tend to take for granted in our buildings, primarily electrical power and seasonal heating and cooling. So thankful to get a lot of these knocked out. Next slide, please. In some cases, repairs affect infrastructure more so than specific buildings. Whether water distribution, roads, or the IT network, repairs to these infrastructures are obviously critical for supporting multitudes of buildings and are very critical for that indeed. Next slide, please. While not exactly NIU projects per se, we have seen a number of city projects adjacent to the campus which are contributing to improving the overall road infrastructure and just enhance the appearance of the campus. While the Lucinda Bridge was not able to quite be completed by the start of this semester, it is very close to being completed. So we're looking forward to that in the coming weeks. Next summer, we actually look forward to more improvements near adjacent to our campus, with the improvements along Lucinda continuing, particularly with the transformation of the Lucinda and Normal intersection, which will be changed about to a roundabout intersection. Next slide, please. And then as I close this brief, I wanted to share the long-awaited artwork, which finally completes the Stevens renovation, which was technically substantially completed in 2018. After a failed attempt to work with an original artist years ago, the Capital Development Board has been able to work with another artist to bring a very fitting vision to fruition, and I hope you agree with that. I want to thank you for your time and for this brief update, and I'll stand by if there's any questions.
Thank you, John. I would just start by saying thank you to you and your team for the job that you're doing, but thank you because I know you work with the city to help prioritize the street repairs, which we are sorely in need of on our campus. And so for the ones that we have received this summer and the ones that we will hopefully receive as the year goes on, thank you for your diligence in working with the city to get our streets repaired, because I know there's a lot of things that add to the beauty of our beautiful campus, but you know, nice streets is one of them. So thank you. I appreciate it. Comments or questions for John? Eric?
Going right along with that theme. By the way, my car thanks you for Garden Road. I don't have this anymore. But as I drove past the school that used to be our health building, I see it's furiously being worked on and great. I'm just kind of curious, why does that happen like that? And when we try to build NICS or our own health center, it takes a decade.
I'll try to be as...
Just give it to us straight.
At different circumstances. Okay. They have different regulations to follow. They have different dynamics with their funding availability. I don't want to bash our colleagues with the Capital Development Board, but we have bureaucracies that we have to work through and funding flows that we have to accommodate around and the timing of all that. So sometimes they can make things work and get at it. This was a priority for them to start up this new school location. So they had a timeline they really had to meet if they were going to meet their semester milestones. So
it's the same bureaucracy? It's just the level of...
It's different. They operate under a school district bureaucracy and rules and regs. We operate under the state, and they are different bureaucracies.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Okay, John, thank you. Move on to agenda item 10. Are there other matters to come before this committee? Hearing none, the next meeting of this committee will be November 7th of 2024. Is there a motion to adjourn this meeting?
So moved, Gales.
Thank you, Chair Gales. Is there a second?
Second,
thank you, Trustee Strom. Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll to end our meeting?
Trustee Rita Athos?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden O'Brien?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wozowitz?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Committee Vice Chair Leland Strom?
Yes.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes. The meeting is adjourned. This concludes the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee meeting. The special meeting of the Board of Trustees will begin promptly now. With that, I will make way here for Chair Gales. Thank you.